about now? We good?
Okay. All right. Could everybody hear me? Oh, you can hear me now, can't you? Woo! We are definitely hot now, aren't we? I thought you were waving at me because you were testifying. I thought it was, praise the Lord, brother. That's so good. That's so good. My wife, she follows me too, three steps behind. I thought that's what the whole thing was, man. I really did. Look there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I was reading this, and I heard a guy say one time, he said, it just captured my attention. And boy, I was reading this, and I mean, it got a hold of me. You know, just, it's one of those things I had to go back and read. It wasn't I wanted to go, I had to. And I read it again and read it again, and I thought, whoo, the benefits of God and the blessings of God. Man, I'm telling you, it just got a hold of me. I hope it'll get a hold of you. I don't really know if it will or not, but boy, I sure do hope that it does. Look there in 1 Peter 1, look at verse 22. And I'm going to read kind of slow and deliberate, if that's okay with you. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now that unfeigned, we all know that's just not fake. He says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now we could stay right there, and I think that we could all get some kind of conviction out of that. Because I doubt that we have always loved the brethren with a pure heart fervently. I mean, I want to. We'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. He says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Well, that book must have some power, huh? I mean, you see what that said, right? You know, most time when we read, we skim the surface. And we halfway pay attention to what it says. Notice what else it says at the end of the verse. It says, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Look there in verse 24. This is me and you. This kind of hurts a little bit, don't it? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man. Aren't we a glorious creature? I mean, come on now. Just think about flesh for a minute. What does Arnold Schwarzenegger look like today? That's a glory of man, you know. That's what everybody thought, you know. These young singers, you know, who had all that beauty. Man, they ain't too pretty when they get up around 70, 75. That glory of man. What happens to the glory of man? It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth. Boy, it does, too. Our chest used to be up here. It is not anymore. It's bag and sag, baby, bag and sag. I'm sorry if that offended any of you. I really do. But I mean, it. You know, old age is coming, you know. We are not going to look like Brother Chris forever. I'm just saying. Yeah, that's gone. It says the grass wither. You having fun yet? All right, I'll get serious tomorrow night. Let's have a little fun tonight. It says the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. Boy, that fell away a long time ago, didn't it? It says, but the word of the Lord. Man, just take that in a minute. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. There are no limits to that book. There's no limits to the word. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And then he says in chapter 2, I'm going to preach chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 if that's okay with you. It says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies. We've emptied the church. We did that. Oh my goodness, man. It says in envies. Whoo, boy, we're all out of here tonight, aren't we? And all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted? Now let me tell you something to start off. Now I'm not going to pray right away, if that's okay with you. We've had some guys pray, and don't think that I'm just passing by this, and I don't have respect for that, because that's not the case. But look at what I'm going to say here. Now listen to, if you don't get anything else tonight, get this. Don't search the coincidences to validate your belief in the Scripture. Don't look for all the superstitious stuff to validate your belief and your trust in the Word of God. They say, who'd you get that from? That's a Wheelerism right there. That's mine. I didn't steal it from Adrian Rogers. Now, I want to give you a little illustration, if I can, if I don't want to go overboard or offend any of you, but I have said this, so I think I can correct myself, if that's okay with you. I have said before, have you ever noticed over in Psalm 119, how that Psalm 119 has 176 verses? And then I would say, you know, if you take 16 times 11, that makes 176, you know, and boy, that's fascinating, you know. And I've seen people before when I've said that, you know, there's, you say, what does that mean? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We don't have to have stuff like that to validate our belief in the Scripture.
Amen.
Whenever we moved to Kansas, and yes, we moved to Kansas.
Amen.
And well, I'll be careful there then. I'll be easy. But whenever we moved to Kansas, you know, I was kind of looking for some validity to our moving out there, you know, and making sure that what we had done by faith, you know, is what the Lord wanted us to do, you know. And so I was praying, you know, and I was young and full of zeal, and I had that double portion of zeal, you know. I mean, I had it, man. And so I went to the grocery store. I had to go to the grocery store and get something, you know, and it's the first time I'd been to the grocery store, and I got my receipt from the grocery store, you know, and I walked out, you know, and it was 16:11. I said, God wants me here. Oh, I believed it. I was searching for something. And you know, really, all I needed to do was just trust by faith that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't have to have that validation. You know, the other day we were sitting around, me and Karen and some other people were sitting around. We hadn't said anything for like an hour. We're just sitting there, you know. And somebody said, boy, are we all mad at each other or something? You know, nobody's talking, you know. And I said, we don't have to talk to validate our relationship with each other. Sometimes it's okay just to sit there. Didn't have the TV going. We're just sitting there. You see, sometimes I think we get this idea that we're always looking for some reason that we can stand on. It's enough to stand on the Word of God. If God gives you direction, that's enough. You don't have to have somebody else come up to you and say, I believe that that's what God wants you to do. Just do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about what somebody else is thinking. Now look, I'm telling you that I am a Bible believer. And I do believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I'm not going to change my mind. I believe all that. You know, I've learned over the years, let's turn if we can tonight. Will that be okay with you? Just take a little, maybe we do a little Bible roulette tonight. Will that be all right? Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles. That'll get you engaged and keep you from going to sleep, you know, and that'll be really good for me. And if you go to sleep, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to stare at you until you wake up. You say you wouldn't. No, you wait. You go to sleep and you'll see. And I'll bring Brother Chris with me for backup. All right, notice there in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, we're talking about Rehoboam here, the son of Solomon. Everybody knows about Solomon and Rehoboam, you know, and how that Solomon messed up with all them wives. One's enough.
Amen.
Yeah, and one husband's enough, too.
Amen.
Go ahead, sister, repeat that. You can go ahead. I mean, get it in there. Notice there in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." Now let me tell you something. Whenever you begin to withdraw from that Bible, withdraw from God's Word, there's some danger for you. You say, what are you in danger of? Look there in verse 14. Same chapter. Now we're still talking about Rehoboam here. He says, "And he did evil." Isn't that something? Man, when you forsake the Lord, then there's the possibility of evil out in front of you. And you don't want to do that. I don't want to. I want to make sure that I stay as clean with the Lord as I possibly can. Now let's go back over to 1 Peter. The Lord gave him some partial deliverance over there. And this is what I'm going to call, if you would, I'm going to call it apostasy. I think we're living in a day and time that, could I be very kind and say that I think that our country is an apostasy.
Amen.
Now, I'm not being mean. I'm glad I'm an American too. But don't you agree with me that they have forsaken the word of the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're hanging on to it. Now, let's go a little bit deeper with that. I think we're living in a time to where that a lot of our churches, I don't know if I'm going to be so bold as to say most of our churches, but a lot of our churches have forsaken the word of the Lord. So I would say there's a lot of churches in apostasy. I'm going a little further with that one. I would say that there's probably some Bible-believing churches that are in apostasy. They believe the King James Bible just like you do, but they've forsaken the word of the Lord. And now they're in a little bit of apostasy. Now let's take that a little bit closer to home. I would say that there are some Christians who have forsaken the word of the Lord. Now you come to church, you give, you got all the stuff down, you attend Sunday school, but you don't have a personal walk with the Lord as far as reading your Bible, like a daily Bible, or a daily Bible study, or something. Keeping yourself in that Word. Whenever the bad times happen, you need to have a little bit of something inside to where that you can kind of have a verse of Scripture to help you out in your spiritual walk so that you don't get away from the Word of the Lord. And you find out that those things will help you if you'll just give them a chance. Because the Bible will help. You know, the Bible says that there is a comfort of the Scriptures. You can find comfort and hope in the Word of God. So I think probably, I don't know, maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't, I don't really know, but I think probably that there are some Christians that have forsaken the Word of the Lord, and they are kind of in a state of apostasy. They're not searching the Scripture. They're not looking in the Bible for direction. They're not looking in the Bible for the right desires. They're not really doing the things that they're supposed to as a Christian. Now, on the outside, they may appear like everything's good, but on the inside, in the heart, in there, there's something wrong. I was talking to a fellow at the gas station just the other day. I was filling it up so we could make our trip down to the airport in Charlotte. And I was standing there, you know, and he was an older gentleman. He kind of looked like a distinguished gentleman, you know. And I said, "Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?" And he said, "I'm doing pretty good." But he said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "this country's in a mess, ain't it?" And I said, "Yeah, it sure is." And I almost giggled, you know, but I didn't want to hurt his feelings, you know. And he said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "I says, I'll be glad whenever they get rid of that in the White House." And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." And then I had to turn away. I thought, boy, I'm going to laugh at this guy, you know. And I was thinking, you know, in a minute he said, you know, if they vote him in, all our problems will be solved. Or he said something like that, you know. I was thinking, oh my goodness. I said, "I'll tell you one thing for sure." I said, "One day, there's coming one that's going to take care of everything and solve all the problems." And you know what he said? He said, "Hey man, you're exactly right." He was thinking of Trump. And I said, "The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come someday and he's going to straighten the whole mess out." And he went, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah." didn't even tell me bye, man. That was the whole conversation, you know. I said, sir, I hope you have a great day. Now, that is what the world is looking out to try to solve their problem. Now, you as a Christian, don't get caught up in that stuff. You as a Christian, don't get caught up in that stuff. Look at me smiling up here. You as a Christian, don't get caught up in that nonsense. And I'm telling you that, you're all saying amen. I guarantee you'll go home tonight and you will not miss the 11 o'clock news. You will sit down, you got to know what's happened today in the trial of Donald Trump, you know. He ain't going to save you.
That's right.
He's not going to help you. He's not going to come to your funeral when you die. But your pastor will be there.
Amen.
You see, it's easy to get the focus off of the place it ought to be on.
Yeah.
It's the Word of the Lord that's really helped us through these things
Amen.
In life.
Amen.
Don't look to the government when you look to God. Now, I want you to look in verse 25. Now, I want to say, first of all, you say, oh my goodness, that was the introduction. That was the prelude to the introduction is what that was. I'm just kidding. No, he's smiling. He's good. What time do we have? No, never mind. Don't look at them clocks right there. Look there in verse 25. He says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Can I say that that is a very affecting book? Look up there in verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let me tell you something. That's a very affecting book.
Yeah, sir.
It'll affect your life. Can I say it this way? It'll change your life.
Amen. Amen.
It'll fix up what ails you.
Amen.
It's better than borax, man. I'm telling you what, it'll clean you up.
Amen.
Don't go home and drink borax. I didn't mean it that way, you know, but I'm telling you, it'll clean you up. All right, now, let's have a little Bible roulette. Okay, Nolan, John 6:63. Chris, you know you're in this mix right here. Galatians 5:19. Would you mind too, Brother Jeff, if I called on you to read a verse? Would that be all right? Absolutely. Okay, you get Galatians 2:20. Brother David, you read the whole chapter of Romans 8. No, wait a minute. You quote the whole chapter of Romans 8. Get Romans 7:18 if you would. And then in just a minute, we'll all turn over there to Romans chapter 8. And then I need somebody to get 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29. Can I get somebody to do that? Can I get a volunteer right now? There we go. Look at that right there. 1 Corinthians 1:29. All right, so let's start with John 6:63.
It is the Spirit that...
Louder.
It is the Spirit...
Louder. You may not be having fun, but I'm having a blast up here. I'm telling you, man. All right, go ahead.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing.
Ooh.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Ooh, the flesh what?
Profiteth nothing.
Ooh, all the glory of man. All right, Brother Chris.
Galatians 5:19.
Yep.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these.
Okay, stop right there. Now, let's not read the list, but can I ask you, is that a good list or a bad list? That's not a really good list, you know. I'll read down through there sometimes. Ooh, boy, that's not a good one right there. All right, who did I have for Romans 7:18, Brother David?
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Oh, that hurt, didn't it? Man, no good thing at all. And every once in a while, you know, we think of ourselves, oh, we're kind of good, you know, or we're okay, or we try to justify the flesh, you know. Man, don't you like the Bible? I mean, honestly, don't you like Galatians chapter 2, verse 16? Nobody knows what Galatians 2:16 is, evidently. Listen, you know what in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 is? That you ain't going to be justified by the law. You're going to have to trust Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your flesh ain't good enough. Somebody get Galatians 2:20. I don't think I gave that out. I don't even write that down. Somebody get Galatians 2:20. Oh, you got it. I did give that out. Look at that. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh.
Oh, wait. The life which I now live in the flesh. It's a crucified life, isn't it? Or it's supposed to be, right? Miss Lynn, 1 Corinthians 1:29. What does that one say? Oh, there it is again, man. Good grace. You look up all the verses. Now, look over in Romans chapter 8. You look up all the verses on the flesh, and boy, I tell you what, they just keep stabbing you in the heart. You get to thinking real good about yourself, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, a little pride enters into your life. You ever had that? You know, somebody brag on you, you know, and boy, Nolan, that was a great sermon, brother. I'm telling you what, that might have been the best sermon I've ever heard in my life, you know. And Nolan goes out of here, you know, and he says, well, I know I can't really think that that was a good sermon because that's wrong, but, you know, that was pretty good, you know. I mean, you know, boy, I tell you what, when I did that right there, I seen them people, you know, they looked at, I'm telling you, boy, and then the pride begins to, you know, and then it won't be long where the Lord, you know what I noticed about the Lord? When you get that pride lifted up in you, He's got a way of coming along and just knocking the slats out from under you. And then when you're laying there in the dirt and you're thinking, what happened? And the Lord says, you remember that night that somebody bragged on you and said, that's a great sermon? Yeah, we need to talk about that. Look in Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 1. You see the word flesh in that verse? Our flesh is a mess. I mean, yours may not be, but mine is an absolute mess. I fight with it all the time. Struggle with it. Second guess it. Try to keep it at bay. You know, that pride, try to not let it, you know, get the best of me. Because, boy, we got it, don't we? Brother Walker was bragging about me a minute ago. He looked at me and said, boy, you look good in that suit. Man, that's a nice-looking sport coat. And I'm like, yeah, I do look pretty good, though. And then you know what we'll do? Yeah, I'm looking pretty good up here, ain't I now? I'm telling you. Pride's got a way of eating at us, don't it? Let's look a little further. Look down at verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Look at verse 4. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse 5. He says, for they that are for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Boy, that's us, isn't it? And let me just throw in verse 6. It ain't got it in it. It says, for to be carnally minded is death.
Yeah.
Look at verse 8. It says, so then, they that are in the flesh. You know what this chapter is? This is the great chapter on the Spirit. But if you're going to get things right with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to have to put this flesh down. You're going to have to get this thing under control. And could I say that if you are just a little bit in apostasy, that your flesh is out of control? You need to rein that dude in. You say, who is that? That dude you look at in the mirror every morning. Look down there in verse 8. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at verse 9. It says, but you're not in the flesh. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. My goodness, man. I think I have skimmed that whole chapter before. I didn't know the flesh was in that chapter as much as it's in that chapter. You know what that shows me? I got some things I need to fix. Now let's go back over to 1 Peter. Isn't this fun? Well, it might not be for you, but it sure is for me. Thank you, whoever said amen. Was that you, Brother Chris? Okay. Man, that's the best amen I've ever heard in my life. I mean, you know, it was right on time. It was the right pitch. I'm telling you. Brother, when you go home tonight, your wife is going to tell you that, look, Chris, you have really grown spiritually because the amen was, it was perfect. See, he's still doing it. It was just perfect, man. It was just the best. I mean, I have heard Dr. Ruckman say amen, but he pales in comparison to you, brother. I'm telling you. Do you see his head swelling? I mean, it's just, by the time we get done, he ain't even going to be able to walk out them doors back there. All that flesh. Now, I'm telling you all this because I want to hit you just a little bit. I'd like to learn how to have the right desire. Now, Notice down in chapter 2, and look at verse 1. He says, wherefore, laying aside. So I think we as Christians, that we got some things to set aside, don't we? Right? Now, just a small list here. This is just a sampling. It's just a taste, verse 3. It's just a sampling of the things we need to lay aside. But notice what he says. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Have you done all that? You say, now, Brother Mike, I've read this. I've read about the old man and the new man, the old nature and the new nature, where that we're supposed to put off the old man and put on the new man. I've read about, but I have a hard time with that. I don't know how to do that. You say, how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I got the answer for you. Look up there in chapter 1. Look down at verse 25. He says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word. That's how you do it. You get in the word, and you listen to what the word says, and man, I'm telling you what, it'll change your life.
Amen, sir.
It'll fix what ails you.
Right.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Sir.
Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Yeah.
You talk about a cleansing agent? That's some kind of book. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now when you're struggling with sin, you need that verse. When you're struggling with temptation, you need 1 Corinthians 10:13. For there is no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear. Now that's what God can do through His Word. But you're going to have to get in it. If I misquoted some of them, just forgive me. Man, my old brain just don't work like my young brain did. You know? Used to, my brain is like a bear trap. Now it's more like a mouse trap. I just can't remember all that stuff anymore. But it's the Word of God. You know what the one that gets me, Brother David? Look up here in verse 22. I mean, I can try to fix some stuff, you know. You know what gets me? Let brotherly love continue. You say, how can I love my brother? Well, it's going to have to be included in the word there. Aren't some of the brethren kind of, let's just think of a good word that's not going to hurt your feelings? Challenging to love? They got a little, maybe their personality is not quite yours. And maybe they think things just a little different. Maybe they're left-handed. My wife is left-handed. She does not think like a right-handed person. I mean, she does things left-handedly. She said, I'm a left-handed person living in a right-handed world. She said, everything is designed for right-handed people. And so we started buying her a few things, you know, like a pair of scissors. I can't use the things. My fingers won't fit into things to use them, you know. It's different, you know. And maybe people are a little different. Now, I'm not talking about this inclusive stuff. But we ain't all the same. But we sure can love one another. And if you can't, that's the reason there's two sets of pews. That's the reason that the tables are divided in sections. You know, what if you could get to the place to where you could love one another a little bit better? Isn't it something that the Lord Jesus Christ, He loved us while we were yet sinners?
Amen.
He loved us when I was unlovable. I'm going to tell you what, if you can't get past a few things, get over a couple of things and put up with a couple of things, I remember Brother Lance one time he was preaching, you know, I think he was trying to get the church a little more cohesive than what it was, you know, and he definitely had uphill battle. That was rough, I'm sorry. But anyway, he was preaching one time and he said, I forgot even what he said, you know. Do you remember what he said, Karen? Yeah, I see. Mousetrap. Yeah, not a bear trap. But he was trying to get things, you know, to where that everything was just a little bit better. And he was struggling with some stuff in the church. And some people didn't love each other. Some people were at odds with each other. And it ought not be that way. You know, you're going to spend all eternity together. You might as well get used to each other down here. I mean, wouldn't it be bad? It would just be it'd be just like the Lord. Okay, here's this person that you never could get along with. You will be eternal neighbors. Oh, Brother Chris, his pride has went like that, you know, and he's no. Now, if I'm going to learn to love some people that rub me the wrong, you know, you ever talk to somebody and they're, you know, it's just like, it is like, honestly, fingernails on a chalkboard. Hello. You walk in and you're prepared for it like, oh, don't let him say hello. Just don't do it, you know, don't do it. And then when they do, it rubs you. And you know what I have to do? I have to turn to the Word. And I have to remember John chapter 13, where Jesus Christ, He got down on His knees and He washed their feet. Humbled Himself. Teaching us a lesson of love. Humility. Now, I got some things I need to learn. That book's good for you. Now look, man, I've been in Kansas by myself. I didn't have a David Walker friend. It was me and Karen and Bailey and Jordan, and that's all we had. We didn't have anything else. And just to be honest, I was not a very good husband. I was I wasn't mean to her, don't think of it that way. I just wasn't there. I worked all the time, and then I tried to pastor that church, and I didn't have that I could call and say, brother, these people drive me nuts. I need some help. I didn't have, you know what I would do? I'd get in my Bible. I sat on a stack of tires at Blair Trailer, and it was trailer tires. We made, you know, these fifth wheel trailers that they pull tractors, you know, and stuff like that. And I would sit on a stack of tires there at Blair Trailer, and I would read my Bible at lunch instead of going and eating lunch with those fellas. And I read my Bible through, I don't know, I think two or three times just sitting on that stack of tires. And I can feel myself sitting there, man. And reading that book and asking God to help me. And those guys had marched through, you know, where the tire shop was, and they'd make fun of me. I said, what are you always doing sitting there reading that Bible? I didn't know what to say to him. One day, one of the supervisors came through. His name was Wayne, big old tall guy. He was about 6'8". He might have weighed 100 pounds, soaking wet, you know, just skinny. He looked like the Marlboro man, you know, that kind of guy. And he came through and he said, Mike, he said, are you too good to eat with us? I said, no. He said, these guys in here, they think you don't like them, that you're better than them. I said, no, that's not it. And he walked out, you know, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to say to these guys. What am I supposed to say? I said, would you give me something to tell them? Would you give me something? Everybody turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know. I said, Lord, would you please give me something that I can say to them? And the Lord was faithful, man. Karen, read Deuteronomy 8:3. Read it louder than Nolan did. He didn't quite get it up there, I don't know.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger.
Did you see what it said? And he what?
Humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger.
Keep going.
And fed thee thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
You see that? I mean, there was a humbling process. And then he showed you something. And he said, this is my word right here. And that's how I want you to live. Man, I paid attention that day. Have you ever been reading your Bible and just all of a sudden the Lord just... It's like a bright light from heaven comes down and shines on you and says, ooh, boy, that's for me. You hadn't ever experienced that? Why not? Have some of you experienced it?
Amen.
How about if you're in the hospital and things are going awry and bad news just keeps coming? Isn't it good that you can turn in your Bibles and you can see what the Holy Spirit of God says to you out of the Bible and how He comforts you through the Scriptures? Here's my friend. He's standing beside me. My wife's sitting on the couch. We're about to go to the funeral. And I'm doing all I can to read Psalm 61. And it's a tough day. And I tried. I opened it and I tried to read it. Because I wanted everybody in that room to know that I was trying to depend on the rock that is higher than I. And I couldn't. And I said, would you read it for me? And he read that whole psalm. I think there's 8 verses. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. But Psalm 61, man, just lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Because that day, the only thing that me and her had to depend on was that rock that was holding our hand. But the only thing we had to depend on that day was standing firm on that rock and His promises that are contained in that book right there. You say, what? This book. The one you got in your lap. The one that you sit there and you've read and sometimes there's some tears drop down off your face because you're heartbroken and you don't know if you can get through the day or not. This book. Don't worry about that. Sometimes you're sitting there and you're reading your Bible and you're excited, and you get a pen out and you mark that verse, because it's such a good verse, This book. Sometime you're having trouble. I don't know why I'm saying this to you. Maybe you're having trouble with your kids, but sometime you're having trouble with your kids, and you get over there, and you see how that those kids are from the Lord. They're an heritage from the Lord. And happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And my quiver was full at 2. You don't have to have 100.
Amen.
You have to have whatever God gives you. And you're having trouble with those kids and you're seeing in there that, how about Ecclesiastes 12? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then you get over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to preach the whole Bible tonight. Is that okay with you? You get in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and you read over there how that you're supposed to train those kids up in that Word. And you're supposed to teach those kids that Word. And you're struggling with them. And then you get in the Bible and you read that and you get some confidence and some strength out of the Scriptures to keep you going so that you can train those children to love God and stay away from that wicked world out there. And you say, stay away from all of it. Well, stay away from the wicked parts anyway. Stay away from the wicked people anyway. Don't get entangled with people you ain't got no business being around anyway. Teach your kids. Show them how not to be involved in that stuff, Train up a child in the way he what? Should go. You see, you've got a Bible full of everything that you need to sustain you through life. It is your sustenance. It is your support. It'll help you. You got 3 of them, man. You're going to need 3 times as much. I mean, it's raising kids is a chore. Pastoring a church is a chore. You know what he needs? He needs that book. He needs his wife to walk 3 steps behind him, and he needs that book. We've really been trying to work on Miss Karen and Miss Christie that they would learn, you know, to be obedient, submissive, godly wives. And when me and Brother David are walking down the aisle, they're right behind us like this. Yes, honey, where do you want us to be? We're working on it, you know. Maybe someday we'll get there, you know. Oh, come on, man. You know what she needs? She needs that book.
Amen.
Every morning I get up and I fix her coffee. You say, why? Because she won't get up and fix me coffee, so somebody's got to make it, you know. I fix her coffee right on the dot every morning at 5:30. I take it in there too. I mean, Nolan, right on the dot. I take it to her. I give it to her. I wake her up, you know. Am I lying, Karen? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? I see you back there talking. We need to talk about that after church, okay? Not 1 minute before. You do have a point there. That is true. And I'll take that coffee in there to her, and I'll hand it to her, you know, and I'll rub her on the head, you know, and she'll wake up. You know how. Yeah, you understand, you know. You know what the first thing she does is? She gets out her phone and starts watching YouTube videos, you know, for the next 30 minutes. Oh, no. You know what she does? She starts reading her Bible. You know what she told me? She said, I sure need to sleep, but I need to read my Bible, and that's the only time I can get my Bible read. She said, wake me up at 5:30 so I can read my Bible for 30 minutes, and then I can get ready for work. Now, I'm not bragging on her because she is my wife, but boy, I sure love you. And I'm not bragging on her because she does that, but boy, I'm telling you, I sure am glad she does that.
Amen.
I sure am glad that she loves Jesus Christ more than she loves me.
Amen.
And that's the way it ought to be. If you want to have a successful marriage, it better be that way.
Yeah.
If your marriage is going to it better be that way. You put Jesus first, and you guys second, see what the Lord might do.
Amen.
You say, will they all make it? No, I'm afraid they won't. But try. Give it a shot, man. Got me through. When I was hated and being hateful, it got me through. When I was full of myself and full of pride, it got me through.
Yeah.
I can remember times, Brother David, getting down on my knees and struggling with things, you know, and just praying and reading the Bible. And honestly, man, one time I prayed and read my Bible on my knees because I heard this story about this guy reading his Bible on his knees. So I did it, you know. Me and Karen's read our Bible together through 3 times together, reading it out loud. Now, she won't read Chronicles because she struggles with names, you know, but I had to read Chronicles. But we read it 3 times together just at the house, just reading it. You know why? Because I think if you get the Word in your house is a whole lot better.
Amen.
I think you get the Word in your life's a whole lot better.
Amen.
When I was mean, the Bible helped me not to be mean anymore.
Yeah.
When I was unkind, the Bible helped me to be kind. When I didn't want to be kind, God helped me through that Word.
Amen.
I'm very thankful for that. When I was depressed, did you get that one? That Bible helped me. Look over in Acts chapter 20. Man, I hope this is okay because I'm telling you, I want you to get a hold of something tonight that might help you. Look in Acts chapter 20. The Bible has ability. It has authenticity. It has authority. Look there in verse 32, Acts chapter 20. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, always commend to God first, and to the word of His grace. And it has ability. What's it able to do? Which is able to build you up. You get down in the dumps, you know what the word of God can do? It can build you up. It can help you when you're depressed. Now, I don't want to say a show of hands, but we're human, man. You know, used to, we didn't even talk about that, but occasionally you get down in the dumps. Let's say it that way if you don't want to talk. You know, Christians don't get depressed. Let's say down in the dumps then. But and you need something to build you up. You need something to lift your spirits. You need Psalm chapter 41 to lift you out of that pit.
and set you up on that solid rock and establish your going. You need that book to help you out. I'm not trying to preach the cover. I'm trying to preach the contents. There's some authority in that book. It's the word which needs to be preached. Don't love this Bible because your mother preferred the Bible. You know, I've heard people say, well, that Bible is good enough for Mama, so it's good enough for me. You thought I was going to fall, didn't you? Don't love the Bible because Mama preferred it. That seems to be the big buzzword today. Well, I prefer the NIV, or I prefer the ASV, or I prefer the King James Bible. Don't prefer it, love it. Amen. Believe it. Amen. It ain't got a thing to do with whether Mama liked it or she didn't like it. It has everything to do with whether or not that is God's Word. Is it?
Amen.
No, is it?
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking for shouting and running around, but in your heart, is it? I hear these guys, you know, these guys that have gone to school to get up, you know, and Brother Sears, he said, you know, love that King James Bible. I believe that King James Bible. Believe King James Bible is the Word of God. From cover to cover, including the cover. We've all heard that. Okay, well, if you believe it, do you know that that book can build you up?
Amen.
It can help you when you're hurting. Look over in James chapter 1. Look at verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart. You see that? We're still laying aside some things. All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That superfluity, that's just like an overabundance. Superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You know what? That in grafting, now, I'm a little bit familiar with grafting apple trees. Up in the mountains, you know, they take an apple tree, a different type of an apple tree, and they graft it in. Aren't we the wild olive tree that was grafted in? You know? All right, so now if it's in grafted, then it's put in there. But you know what it involves? It involves a little cutting. And then you take that graft and you put it in where that cut's made, and then you wrap some tape or something around it, you know, and pretty soon it becomes part of it. You know, someday, I listen to Brother Lance a lot, you know, and just thinking about some of the things he said. He had great wisdom about some things. And one time he was preaching, and after we got done, you know, me and him were talking, and he said, you know, Brother Mike, he said, right now you're carrying that great big old Bible around like this. You know, you're toting that thing around. You know, like, you got this thing, don't you? And he said, one of these days, you know what's going to happen? He said, it's just like that sword that David laid behind the tabernacle there, you know, and it was Goliath's sword. He said, it's just like that sword. He said, that sword is a big old sword. You know, that's too big for David to carry around. But one day David went back and got that sword. And instead of David carrying that sword, you know what that sword did? That sword carried David. You know what's going to happen to you one of these days, Brother Mike? One of these days you're going to pick that Bible up and you're going to realize you ain't the one carrying that Bible. You're going to realize that Bible's carrying you.
Amen.
You know what? It becomes a part of you. Because it's a living. Man, there's something about that book. It keeps you going. I mean, in the middle of the night, you know, when you wake up and you can't sleep, a little bit of heavy whipping cream will do the job. Karen thinks that's the grossest thing there was, you know, but I love that stuff. And I'll drink a little heavy whipping cream and then I'll go get my Bible and I'll sit down in my chair, you know, and I'll read a few minutes. The Bible is the best sleeping pill you ever had in your life. Read that for just a few minutes, and off you go. It becomes part of you. It becomes part of your life. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. It's, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. After a while, You know, it just becomes part of you, you know. And one of these days, you're just going to blurt out a Bible verse. Somebody going to say something to you at work and just, you're going to just blurt it out, you know. Well, you know, the Bible says you must be born again. And then you're going to stand back and you're going to go, oh, man, what did I say? What? Oh, goodness, man, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to say that, you know. And you're going to say, where did that come from? Well, it's getting that word down on the inside and you chew on it, you know, and you eat it like honey. Oh, I'm in the Bible. And you eat that book like honey and it gets down on the inside and it becomes bitter, you know, and it churns and one day something's going to happen and it's going to come out and I mean, you're just going to vomit the thing all over the place. And it's going to embarrass the fire out of you. But boy, I tell you what, it's a great day when it does because it's part of you. It's part of you. You're living, you're breathing and living that book. We memorize verses to get us through. One day, you ain't going to have to memorize one of them verses. One day, one of them verses is just going to become part of your life. Anybody ever memorized Romans 8:28? Are they in there or are they not? They're there to help you. They're there to build you up. They're there to encourage you. Now, we can talk about the Bible all we want to. We can encourage you. We can push you. We can press you. We can do all we can to get you to read that book. We can do all we can to get you to study that Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Man, I'm telling you what, that's a book. And you get in there and you begin to study it and God begins to open up the words to you and you begin to see things out of the Bible and they're fresh and new. You know what some people need? They need just a little bit of fresh oil. Just a little renewing. Amen. Just a little encouragement. You know what I'd like to see every one of you get across the finish line? I'd like to see every one of you have some kind of a reward at the judgment seat of Christ so that we could possibly rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. Wouldn't that be a hoot, man? Amen. To get to come back with Christ and be able to rule and reign with Him here on this earth. Man, I'd love to see every one of you get that. Why don't you get in the Word and see what it is that God wants you to do? Why don't you pray and say, God, I don't know what your will is for my life, but I'd sure like to be a vessel that you can use. How about Romans 12, 1 and 2? You ever read that? About God's will for your life? How that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our, isn't this a great word? Our reasonable service. So that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what God wants you to do? He wants to show you His will for your life. But you're going to have to get in this book, which liveth and abideth forever. And read it, and you go to it, and you say, am I going too long here? Is this okay? You go to it, and you say, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And you humbly go before that book. How about over there in Isaiah chapter 66? How about the man that trembleth at His word? Does that word make you tremble? Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Don't that word get a hold of you sometime? It just make you shake. Look, man, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to force my opinion or my belief or my, you know, preconceived notion of anything. But could I say this to you? If you'll get in that Bible, it'll help you. You say, well, I can't read very well. I can't either. I'm a terrible reader. It shames me to stand here and tell you that, but I am a terrible reader. I will read a verse, and then I think I'm doing okay. And then I'll read 10 more, and I'll think, what did I just read? And then I go back and I read one verse. Then I get two this time. And then I'll read 10 more and I'll think, oh man, I went to daydreaming again. You guys like that? Or maybe you're good readers. Maybe you can get in the Bible and you just start reading, you know, and the devil never bothers you and he never gets your mind off on something else, you know, that's happening at the church or, you know, something with your family. And you just start reading the Bible and, boy, I'm telling you, you just get through those verses. Man, I'm telling you what, and you get done, you just, boy, I tell you, that was a great chapter on Rehoboam. Lord, help me not to be like Rehoboam. Not me, man. I'm a terrible reader. I go over it and over it and over it again. And then I'm embarrassed about it because sometimes I just don't do too good with it, you know. I've had to learn how to read. I've had to learn how to learn how to read. But I still keep trying. I went to my pastor one time and I told him, I said, brother, I'm a terrible reader. He said, keep on reading. And I said, I don't do too good with this. And he said, keep on reading. I said, yeah, but you don't understand. He said, just shut up and keep on reading. I said, okay, enough said, you know. You know what I did? Kept on reading. I love that old Bible. That precious old Bible. Boy, it sure has meant something to me. Has it meant anything to you? Don't just wave it in church and say, this is our banner. Hold it next to your heart and say, this is my help. This is my strength. This is what tells me about Him so that I can look. This is what tells me about me so that I can learn what to quit and what to change and what to start and what to fix. And not only that, but God in His Word, you know what He'll do? He'll show you how to do that. He's very gentle. He's very gentle. And aren't you glad that He's very gentle? I owe Him everything. And I can never pay it. But I can do a few things along the way. I can keep my nose in there. And I can keep digging. Keep trying. As bad a reader as I am and as hard a time as I have with it, I can keep on reading. My little grandmother, she died when she was 92 or 3, 4 years old. I can't remember exactly. And she had read her Bible through, I think, 13 times. She started in 1970 reading her Bible. She told me she read her Bible 30 minutes every night. And she said, I pray for my family 30 minutes every night. And I said, boy, keep on doing that. And she said, I've read it from 1970. And she said, I've read through it 13 times. That, I think that was in 2011 when she told me that. 13 times. How many years is that? That's 40, how many? 41 years. You know what she had? She had a fifth grade education. She just barely could read. She'd take her little old arthritic finger, and I'd watch her, and she'd read a word at a time. I'm not that determined. She'd read one word at a time. Boy, she'd go through that book one word at a time. Now, I don't know, maybe we got a little more education than she had. We've learned a few more things. We got some Bible education. Surely to goodness, we can spend a little bit more time in that and quit worrying about what the economy's doing.
Yeah.
Maybe we can spend a little more time in this, and maybe the churches would get out of that state of apostasy. Maybe the Christians would get out of that state of apostasy. Oh, I would never say that you are. But are you? Is it slipping just a little? Is your relationship a little, is it slipped just a little bit? Are you in that good place where you always should be? Is your heart engaged in doing the things that God wants you to do? Oh, I love serving Jesus when it's good. But there's times it's just routine. Sometimes we've got to kick the rut out, get out of the routine, and try to serve the Lord just a little bit more. Just stay in that book. Don't quit. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. One word at a time. In the beginning, God created the heaven, not the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now look, man, just keep reading it. Just read it one word at a time. And I'll promise you it'll help you. It'll do something for you. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Brother David, if you would come.